before you know it. On January 25th, we'll start a new series that'll lead to Lent. We'll have a new series for Lent, but the series is called Transformation. And basically what we're going to be talking about from January 25th to February 15th is, as a church, our mission is always right there on the wall. We're empowering people to take the next step on their journey. And what that next step is about transformation. We're not just a source of information about God, a source of information about faith. We want to help people, and we want to experience it ourselves. We want to be transformed. We want the old to go and the new to come. We want to experience this dying and rising with Christ, this I once was blind, but now I see sort of experience. And so we're going to spend about 4 weeks talking about what is transformation, how does somebody become transformed, because there's not just a set pattern for that. It all happens to us in different ways. And then what are some things we can do and things we can participate in that regularly keep that? Because faith is a journey. It's not a decision for a moment that may begin some faith, but it's a journey, and it's about continually growing and continually having your being enlightened and continually having your heart open to God and open to what God is doing in the world. So we're going to talk about for 4 weeks, and we could do an entire 10-year series on this, but I don't think you guys would, 10 years is a little long to do a series. So we'll keep it to 4 weeks, and really we're just going to explore transformation, what it looks like to take it seriously and be a part of it. So without further ado, would you join me in welcoming our brother from another mother, Romano, to the stage? Are your hands okay? Because you were really playing those congas. Loved it.
Okay.
So, Romano, you were with us back in March or April?
April
of this past year, and it's great to have you back. I really wanted to, I don't know if you'll know this, but I really wanted to put a fern or two back here. How many of you have seen Zach Galifianakis in Between Two Ferns? How many of you have seen this? I really felt like that would be, so if you don't get it, look it up. But I thought that would be really appropriate, but we didn't have any ferns, so I'm sorry. But anyway, so Romano's here this morning. Romano's been in the States for how long?
I've been in the States since December 15th.
December 15th, and you'll be in the States?
Until February the 2nd.
February 2nd, okay. But you'll be in Morgantown until the 8th?
Until the 8th, yes.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about and we'll get into the serious stuff in a minute. We want to hear about your trip so far. So what has been your second trip to the U.S. now? And what have you done? What have you experienced? How's that been?
It has been great. I've had a beautiful time so far, and I've been eating a lot. That's pretty much what I do.
Can we show the picture of, so some people took him to Moonlight. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Let's go to the Moonlight picture first. Look at that.
Oh, my
God. Look at that. How did you survive it?
I know. That's what I've been doing. So eating. So basically, that's just like
that's all we generally do is eat. So what was Moonlight? You'd had barbecue before, though, right?
A little, but it was great there. I like everything I had, as you guys have seen. So I enjoyed it. It was a good time.
So you've eaten a lot, which is good.
Yeah, I've eaten a lot.
What else have you done?
I've met some friends. I've been waiting for the snow to come. It was supposedly going to come this time, but there's some difference I've seen where I'm here now. It's that we have different. We expect snow at different times here. Uh-huh. We expect it in Christmas. It's like and for us, it's like the summer. In the summer, snow is always white, I think. So in the summer, we have it's so hot there. Smoke's coming out. We think it's snow, so we expect that. So yeah, expecting it to, but
Never actually seen, honest to God, freezing cold snow.
No, but on TV maybe.
Man, I'm sorry. Yesterday was 60 degrees here. 60 degrees. It's going to be 18 on Wednesday, but 60 degrees here. So I felt so bad because I feel like we're not being good hosts because we can't make it snow.
You guys are good. I just enjoy whatever happens. I have enjoyed good food and good friendship. You've been in new people and places, so I enjoy it.
Now, Kenneth Young has taken you around to do some things. Can we show a picture of the... What is this?
That's the land between the lakes. I went there to check some elks. Actually, I was calling them, deer, so I confused. I confused them. So deer wouldn't stay close to me like that. I think I'm going to shoot them, but, I had a good time there.
You could have told me that was an elephant, and I would have probably believed you, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, that was a great time.
So. And you've driven was it a backhoe or a bulldozer?
Yeah, I was with Kenneth, and, get on that. For me, all those kind of things, a tractor. So I got on there and then trying to take some tree down. It was very fun.
He's really good. He's got you working on projects is what he's got you doing.
Trying to build the world. You know, he said, he told me that, you know, it's easy, an easy way to get to the state and go back to Dominican. So I won't have to take an airplane. So I can just make my way and then fix it.
Build a road from Kentucky to the Dominican.
I hope I finish the road. But
well, you were here for Christmas. And the whole Christmas season and the craziness that comes with Christmas here. Could you talk a little bit about what that experience was like, and then maybe a bit about how you celebrate Christmas in the DR? I'm sure a lot of people would like to know, what, you know, we just kind of assume that Christmas is Christmas, but it's different depending on where you go in the world.
Yeah, it's a little different. We just, I definitely think we have more food here, so, because that's what I've been doing. And it's not as cold as it is here, again, in Dominican. So, it's a little different, but kind of similar, you know, what we do. So
the traditions, Christmas trees, all that sort of stuff.
Everybody have Christmas trees here. Some people might not do that in the Dominican. Some do, but some don't. So,
I can't imagine Christmas being warm. But people who live on the West Coast, like in California or something, they experience Christmas as warm.
That, yeah.
Yeah, back yeah. Here. I just can't
fathom
that.
I think for me, this is the first time it has been that cold. So.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. I've been in the cold Christmas. Like that.
Well, there's been a lot going on with you. You've battled some illness. You were sick for a while, right?
Yeah.
You feeling better?
Yeah, I feel better.
Good. And then you've had a lot going on in your ministry. I want to give you an opportunity to share, because I know everybody's wondering what's new with you, what's new with the church, the soccer ministry, your life as much as you want to share with us. So what has been going on in your world?
Everything has been great, this time, you know, I was working in the ministry. Now I'm on my own. So God has been teaching me a lot of things, you know, through the years. I've learning, I've grown, and He has put me into the position where I am now, working with the church and the sport ministry. I have added a new kind of thing in my ministry. I have started working with some kids also that... I have been willing to a long time ago to do so, but I have not had the opportunity to do it. So now I'm doing it. Started working with some kids to teach them soccer and teach them about God. And those kids that's in the Dominican, some have fathers, some don't have mothers. And, you know, some, you know, living there, they have problem going to school to get education and stuff like that. So they need someone, you know, a voice in their life. Sometimes, you know, they don't have dad to tell them, you know, help them grow and social life and stuff like that. So we try to help them see life differently and draw them to church, and they can listen to the word of God and they can grow learning that. And I hope in the future they can be part of my big soccer team. They can also play for us. So we're trying to do something with them. So that's something we have added to our ministry. And our church is...
Can I go back to ask? So everybody understands, you were partnering with Go Ministries, but you've since decided to go out essentially on your own in some ways with your supporters.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I have been there for 14 years, so I have learned a lot, and God has been good to me, and He is using different people about different places and churches, so... I've taken a decision now to move on my own and to just God continue working. So whether with Go Ministry or on my own or different places, so He's working. So I just think God will continue doing His job.
Yeah, I think God really is just looking for willing bodies. You know what I mean? And he'll do the work with us. So how many kids are you partnering with now and teaching?
I started getting into the kids, something I started a month and a half ago. So kids still join us. It's mostly like Haitian kids, but it's free for Dominican kids that can be in that same position, can join us also. And we have 15 kids now, but that will grow, the number will grow, and having some from 7 to 14. So working them all different places, different ways. So.
And I don't know that everybody who's here now was here last time you were here or heard us talk about it. Can you just talk a little bit about what it's like for, you know, a Haitian kid growing up in the Dominican and some of the challenges they might be facing? I think it'll kind of give them an idea of why what you're doing is so important.
Yeah. You know, a lot of Haitians live in the Dominican, they are illegal. So because being illegal, they lack opportunity to many things. Like, for example, the soccer ministry which we have, it hurt a lot of Haitians have some recreation. They don't, you know, do other things, maybe going to movies or going to places. So when you have soccer games, not only that draw them to something they really like as a number one sport in our country, in Haiti, that give them the opportunity to enjoy seeing play, and who don't play come to watch us play and be part of the ministry. So that's something draw a lot of people to it, and then that have been, you know, something we kind of like give to them to have fun. And then those have kids, you know, if you're not illegal, the kids cannot go to public school because they don't have normal paper, good paper to go. So they would have to find like a where to go without paper or something, but sometimes they have to pay some money and they cannot afford it. So some get little education, some get none. So when you try to do something like that, we try to help them see life differently, help them, you know, learn about Christ and know that, you know, it's not, you know, always that way. It has to be that way for them all the time, but at least they get something about God, and then we ultimately want to have, like, some of them, you know, they don't feed them, you know, because of the situation. Hope we can have, like, a meal with them once a day or however God provides for that to happen in the future. And we can try to help him to go to school. There are some school that we started in the first church I planted, but you have to pay a little money, and sometimes the parents don't send them just because they don't have that lot of money to send them, or you know, they feel, so they stay in the streets, get whatever they get on the street, which a lot of time not good. So that's very important for them to get someone, you know, because the soccer is attractive to them, and then I can talk to them, and they can hear an adult, you know, every time in their life, and ultimately God's word would change them and have them grow in a better path.
So when you say soccer ministry, you're not just talking about soccer ministry. You're talking about education. You're talking about helping people get on the right path. You're talking about sometimes helping people get food. I mean, yeah. And I'm guessing, like, I think this is true all over the world, wherever you are, whether it's America, the Dominican, wherever. Education is, in many ways, the key to avoiding a lot of bad, dangerous stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I think one of the best ways to get educated is learning the Word of God. And when those kids get the opportunity to learn the Word of God, somehow through someone, it is a huge thing for them. Since if they don't get like regular education to go to school, they don't get, you know, nothing from an adult, from the Bible, so it's worse for them. So when we do soccer, it's just something that attracts them to come and join us. You know, we try to join them. So we build a relationship, and even through the kids, we build a relationship with the parents, and ultimately we can also help them, you know, understand how life is different. Life in God is a lot better, and it's not only what they've seen, but it can get better. But it's even better when with God. So that's, you know, taking to helping them and get better education, learn about the Bible, and also we present them when they get in trouble, because a lot of time, a lot of people get in trouble just by being illegal. The police sometimes, you know, so much corruption in the world, sometimes they get arrested, you know, to go to prison. I have to go defend them, you know.
So you're also a lawyer.
Somehow, indirectly. Indirectly, but it happened. So all that, you know, I had to face him, face that. So I kind of like do, you know, different things, but we use the soccer outreach as a ministry just because something they really love. So we build relationship and then reach other needs for them also.
So a typical day for you could include teaching kids soccer, some component of education, some component of being a lawyer and defending somebody. And then you're a pastor. So you have this church to take care of and these people you're investing in. And what's that like to wear so many different hats?
I mean, to me, the ministry, it's 24/7. You know, sometimes I've been called in the middle of the night to go try to defend people, you know, from the police. You know, they want to arrest them, or some other people get in trouble thinking they have stealing something, you know. You know, so I have the opportunity to defend them in those ways and witness to them and even to people who try to do bad to them. So it's involved other things. You know, I've always expecting something to happen and then take that opportunity to witness for God. And that's how the kingdom grow. And, you know,
I think some people have this idea that to be a Christian is to seclude yourself from the world and hide from the world. And I think if you take the stories in the Bible seriously, to be a Christian is to actually be out in the middle of everything, the good, the bad, the corruption, the all the stuff that you see and are seeing on a regular basis. And it's to be, I think Jesus talked about being the light of the world.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, as I said before, it's a lot of people see it differently. You know, just like you said, people want to be, a part of all bad things and blah, blah, blah. You know, you don't have to be part of the bad things when you're in the middle. You can be in the middle and be the light, just like you said. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says we have to go out there, be the light in the darkness. So whatever bad thing is happening out there, they can represent our darkness. When we go with the Word of God, is the light of Jesus coming to shine in the darkness some different ways. I do it through soccer. I do it, you know, through different things, you know, through the ministry. So however it comes, God make it work somehow. So
I guess your job every day is to just wake up and be open to God's Spirit, doing whatever God's going to do.
I mean, we have some plans, obviously, but we also can keep adding to that, you know, whatever it's necessary. So God just let it flow.
Our job is open. God, whatever. Be open. One more thing about the education thing. I want to talk about your church. When I was in school here, primary school, which is, I guess, I didn't go to middle school. I went through K through 8 elementary school. But in high school, they always gave us our textbooks. And I think one of the things that was so shocking to me is that doesn't happen in the Dominican, right? No. Pay for your textbooks, like in college. Is that right?
Yeah. You pay for books. The government, like, for some kids, let's say Dominican kids, the government has promised to help them with books and stuff like that. But when it comes to Haitian kids, you know, you don't get that. I mean, you know, not even being legal to go, maybe have opportunity to go to a Muslim that can't afford it, go to a private school, and you have to buy everything. Or the one that cannot, you know, do so, they get nothing. So it's not that, you know, it happened everywhere and the same there. It's not like that. Some people don't have the opportunity to get those things.
Yeah. And I think, I speak for everybody here, what you're doing through your soccer ministry is pretty amazing. How's Uno?
Uno,
that's his soccer team, Uno, right?
Yeah, that's the name, Uno. By the way, Uno, you know, we have a verse we match with our term, which includes Jesus' prayer in John 17:21, where we get Uno. So we want everybody to connect to that. So we are one. Uno means one. So everything we do, we want to do it as one. And that's just like Jesus said, God and I, we are one. So we do things separately, but we have one purpose, is to reach, you know, whatever God wants us to take, what God wants to take us to that beautiful place of eternal life. And whatever we do, we try to make that look just the same. You know, let's do different thing, but we have one purpose. So we want all the guys that are not even Christian, but being part of our soccer team to feel that, to understand that, and we can hopefully get life better working as one in the body of Christ.
It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul's talking about spiritual gifts in the church. And we talked about that passage during Advent a couple weeks ago. And it's not, everybody doesn't have the same gift. So everybody's not a goalie. And if everybody were a goalie, you would never get scored on, but you would never score.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it would be hard to score.
So Uno's going well. How'd you guys do in your tournament?
We did okay. We went up being third. But you know, it's soccer. So we played like 6 games and we didn't lose one, but semifinal we lost. So last time, so is that how it is? You win all this game, but you lose one, and then you
it's out. Over. So, it's over.
But we
I think you were. I didn't see the game, but I think you were robbed. You should have won.
Okay, so that didn't good. We didn't good. Playing right now, I have played 2 games in a little short tournament we had for the by the end of the year. They have played and still gonna play next Sunday to the final, whether they're gonna play the final or not. But Wuno's doing good, just growing, and some of the guys, some new guys are joining, and we feel very good for that. And God has been working, you know, just witnessing and just planting the seed through us, those people who are coming to be part of it.
So the church in Conca, you're approaching your 3-year anniversary in August?
Yes.
Is that right? How are things at the church?
Things are doing okay. We have had some, you know, challenges with the local we're using and with some other thing we need in the church. But God has been good, and He's making a way. Right now we have to move. We have to give back that place we're using. But we're supposed to, this month actually, but there's another place we have seen we can rent, but that place is a little store right now. They would move from that place to a different place, and whenever that happens, we're going to have the opportunity to use to rent a bigger place. It's going to cost a little bit more money, but it's going to be better for us because it's a little bigger, and it will help us grow a little bit more.
And we're trying to figure out how to buy that place because that was what we wanted to do, but the legal issues with the owner didn't have the right papers and still can't find them.
Exactly, still can't find them. So we're still looking for a new place. Well, you know, as I've moved to be on my own, so we're looking for a place that can be, you know, for the church or maybe have a soccer field on it also in the future. You know, just looking for a future and then to have like more. Connect all the ministry together, you know, with the kids, with the adults, and then do things together. So that we'll see what God wants, or what God we're going to do. We can't wait, but it's going to be.
Can you talk a little bit about the things that your church does in the community and the ways you guys reach out? And because I know you guys, especially during your anniversary, you have a lot of stuff going on trying to reach out to people.
Yeah. We, as the church, we try to connect everybody together. There are some people that we do, depending on the, I'd say, the. We have a program like everybody, when they get sick or some women give birth, the church try to represent, like to give to them. We try to have 2 meals a year to celebrate and invite everybody to come. And we have evangelizing we do through the visiting, you know, different places, houses, different people that come to the church. So we try to support another soccer team that is in the community. It's not exactly, you know, we lead that, but you know, a lot of guys, we try to reach out with them, so we try to be like a part of it indirectly so we can witness to those guys also and ultimately bring them to God. So
these, you have these meals. It's a pretty significant event.
It's very significant. Actually, when I started, we used to have a meal every week once a week before we play, but you know, we didn't have the church format that way, so the money we was using could do enough for that. But then when we moved to renting places and different issues, you know, when people get sick, if we had to take to the hospital, we have to give them the first aid, you know, help them, you know, at the beginning. Sometimes they don't have anything, so the church have to represent. I have to represent whatever is needed to help them.
So somebody gets sick, you guys help take care of that if you can.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, you know, a lot of time they don't have enough to take care of themselves in the hospital, so they have to spend. So I try to help them do that too. At least the first thing, or if somebody might be sick and want to go back to Haiti and maybe to stay with parents and don't have, you know, transportation, we try to help with that too, and stuff like that. So
when you get sick in the Dominican, you go to the doctor. They give you a prescription, but you don't get like typically some there's folks who can afford a pill at a time, right? Because they're so expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive, and there's the public hospital, but you know sometimes it's hard to get to it. You might get to it, but get no medicines. A lot of times they don't have any medicine, blah blah. So you know if you really sick, you know you go there probably gonna die if you don't go somewhere to get the you know. Quick, you know, assistance from a doctor or something. So we try to know what we can, we try to do what we can to just get, you know, that person, what that person needs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times buy a prescription or pay a little to the doctor so he can take care of that person or stuff like that. So whatever we can do, we try to do it to represent, you know, in the church.
So I think a lot of times, at least, and I don't know what the perception is in the Dominican, but in here in America, a lot of the perception is that going to church is this place you go on a Sunday morning, you sing a few songs, you suffer through a sermon, and then you go eat lunch. And that's church. And what you're describing isn't that. It's very much life.
Exactly. We try to develop that as it is. I mean, it should be, you know, for every Christian that Christian being Christian is a lifestyle. You know, it's not like, you know, one day or one service or one thing. It's not how it was in the beginning that we try to have it. Just, we a body and then we don't, you know, eat today for a body and then we go to sleep and we never do anything else. So it's just going every day, and we do different things, you know. They come to church, people, we come to church, but also other things happen during the week or all the time, you know. We have to be part of that as a church. So we try to do that. It's not just meet with you know, on Sunday or whatever whenever we meet, but also church keep going, building relationship throughout the week and the time that's, you know, and different events takes place. And do things. So that's how it used to be, and we want to keep that, you know, the Bible says.
Yeah. Well, I think when you read the book of Acts, the church, when it's just beginning, I hear people usually say we need to be a first century church, and I don't agree with some of that because I like electricity, and they didn't have it. Right? But there's this, that spirit that was present there where people are doing whatever it takes. They're selling their possessions to help people. They are one in spirit. They're always, there's this sense of we may meet on Sunday or whatever, but we're always together in the sense of trying to make the community better and make the world better and invite people to trust this Jesus we talk about. That seems like what you are experiencing.
Amen. Amen. It is exactly how it is. And that's what we're trying to, we're experiencing and, you know, how people do understand it. It's just not, you know, just not one service or just not just one meeting. It's a lifestyle. It's our life dedicated to Christ. And then we dedicate it to each other and try to grow each other up every day until Jesus comes back.
How do you keep yourself open? Because we were talking about how you really, it's, you know, you have these plans, and it's about waking up every day and being open to what God's doing today. How do you do that? Because it seems like you are tuned in.
It's always, we always have like a space for, you know, for whatever God wants to do. You know, we make plans, and then we have projects with everything, but a lot of time our plan is not God's plan. And in fact, he says it in his word, you know, my way is not your way, or my plan is not your plan. So whatever, we have to have plans, but listen and willing to obey to whatever God brings in. Mm-hmm. And he does that, you know, different ways, different days. And we try to just put ourselves to it and then do what he wants. So.
Yeah. Well, it's inspiring. It's inspiring for me to hear what you're doing. And I think if you had a business card, it would be filled up with things because you're doing so many things and you're doing them so well. Doing so many things, being a pastor, a soccer player, a soccer coach, working with kids, helping with education, helping with meals, helping with medicine, being a lawyer, all the stuff you're doing. You know, and now that especially you've kind of gone out on your own to do some of this, what are your needs? What on a regular basis, what are the things you're finding you need help with? What are the things you're finding that you need support with?
Yes, I mean, coming to be on my own is not something easy. I mean, life is not easy itself. You know, living for God is difficult, but it is good. And God is good and has been with us, has been working. and he will continue working, and it's a little challenging, but God is there. That's what is most important. When you have the presence of God, he can make everything work the way he wants it to work. So, for example, we had, you know, being with the ministry, with Go, we had a vehicle we assigned to use and stuff like that. Well, part of the way it works, now I moved away. I had to give that back, even though it has not happened yet, but soon it's going to happen, and I need to get a new vehicle to move around, or especially it's going to be used for the church and for the soccer ministry and stuff like that.
Because you transport people to church every week, right?
Yeah, every week. We have three activity, main activity in the church, so I have people, I take them, you know, take them there. You know, it's not, we don't try, you know, and not everybody has a car, you know, just like it is here. Most people don't have a car, especially in those, like, poor community, people don't have cars. They walk or they take a public transportation, you have money to pay for it and stuff like that. So, try, if you have something we can use, we give the opportunity to people who can't afford to come or to our activities. We pick them up, we take them back, and stuff like that. And for even for the soccer team, when you go play away, we have to rent a bus, sometimes expensive, so we don't do it very often because of how it is for us. But, you know, we need something stable to do that, you know, to continue doing it. So that's one of the needs we have, like, to at least we hope in the future we can have the opportunity to pursue a minivan or something like that to help us grow. And then, you know, the church is kind of a new church, have been 2 years old. There are a lot of things we're trying to teach people to do, you know, but being in a small community, poor community, the latter thing in the church, the church itself cannot, you know, do it, you know. So we have, we do very little. We need everything, like, in the church, instruments, sound system, you know, everything. So we have little thing now, but we have to grow to where we have, you need chairs, or everything, like, the church would need, mm-hmm. you know, in a community like ours. So we keep, you know, the sport things, and we do. And ultimately, well, we talk about already the local we need and stuff like that. We hope God works plans that it happens. All those things happen sometimes. We can be able to have, and then.
And you have a network of supporters who support you. There's a handful of us here at MCC who every month give to help support Romano's ministry, and it's an over and above our regular giving sort of thing. And I think if anybody wanted to be a part of that, I know you'd welcome the support, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And this opportunity again to thank everybody who have been supporting. Morgantown Community Church has been a big supporter the last couple of years for us. So we appreciate everybody having part of it. But, you know, now as we break away from the ministry we were doing, we have almost lost half of our support. So that makes it a little more challenging for us now. But we know everything will work out, but we keep praying, and God can continue blessing us and blessing many others, blessing you guys. So somehow, if anybody want to be part of supporting us, we're welcome to.
Romano's got to play congas in a second. But at the end of the service, would you mind hanging out down here and just, if you have a question or you just want to come say hi and thank him for being here and for his work, would you be okay to do that? So he'll be after we're going to sing a song, and after that we'll be going. But he'll be down here, and if you'd like to come, just say hi, welcome, ask him a question, you know, offer support, whatever it is you'd like to do, he'll be available for that. So can we have a word of prayer?
Amen.
Would you mind praying for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are and what you do in our life every day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, you sent to die on the cross to give us life. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to see this new year and with new challenges, new blessing. And we thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody who have come to worship you and understand there's nothing better than to live a life for you on this earth. Thank you for the opportunity have given me to be part of this beautiful church, beautiful people. And thank you for blessing them, blessing me through them. I bless you, bless your name. And hopefully you can continue blessing this community, this church, and what we do everywhere in the Dominican and here and everything. Thank you, and I bless you, and I love you, and love everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you.
soul's weary, when you find out, when you can't hear me, lay your troubles down in your dark moments, when your heart's weak, bring yourself broken, you will find me. You rode the rain, you rode the sun, who called your name, and where are you running? And I'm gonna be there near old fire, and I'm gonna meet you where you are. You rode the rain, you rode the sun, and now